This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The starters are left in the game because we're going to fight to the end. And those guys did a nice job with that on defense. Offense, you know, we're working operation, like I said. And again, it's got to come down to that and, where that is in terms of that. So I think it's important that we just have that mentality going forward.
Enough with the fight to the end. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today under the weather. Matt Eberflus defending the decision to leave Caleb Williams in the game, fighting to the end. No defense, really, if he had been more seriously injured. I'd be curious to see if he's on the injury list today, by the way. If Caleb Williams is on the injury list with an ankle issue, then that quote will come back tomorrow and we'll talk about it again. Because that was the worst decision on a day full of bad ones. So we can debate a lot about Matt Eberflus's judgment, and it's under question, and he is under scrutiny because the Bears have now lost two in a row. And so the prevailing sentiment, the most common reaction from Bears fans after the loss to the Commanders, but especially after the loss to the Cardinals, was fire the coach. Get rid of Flusy. He's done. I think his status is certainly worthy of conversation, especially in a football city. It certainly has gotten the attention of bettors, as we've heard from Joe Ostrowski in the 6 o'clock hour. You can now look at him as there's Doug Peterson, and the next on the list of coaches who are more likely to be fired is Matt Eberflus. But consider this. There was a lot we didn't know about Matt Eberflus's contract status going back to the day he was hired. His contract length was something that Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune asked about at the opening press conference. And there were answers that were vague, and obviously privacy was protected and all the things. Well, a guy, Biggsy, in this morning's mailbag, got to read these mailbags, full of great information. At ChicagoTribune.com, our guy Biggsy says this about a question about Matt Eberflus's contract situation. While I was under the assumption Eberflus signed a 4-year contract when he was hired, I'm now led to believe he actually signed a 5-year deal that runs through 2026. If you think about it, when you're selling the idea of a rebuild and preaching patience, it stands to reason Eberflus would seek a deal longer than 4 years. And from what I'm told, this is Biggsy, I believe he got that. You may recall, I asked Eberflus directly about the length of his contract when he was hired, and he declined to say. So that's relevant. Why? That's relevant because the Bears would be, let's say, conservative estimates. Again, they don't have to reveal how much they're paying Matt Eberflus, but according to industry estimates and sourcing, we believe that it's between $4 and $5 million. Let's say $4.5 million, ballpark figure. If the Bears fire Matt Eberflus after this year, they're on the hook for $9 million. for the 2 seasons they're paying him to go away. Stay away. Enjoy your house. Throw your parties. And I think that would be understandable if they continue to trend in the wrong direction. If this season isn't turned around, if they lose more than they win, frankly, I think we'll be having a conversation about a coaching search at the end of the season. If they win more than they lose, there might be a debate. How did they get there? How do they look? What's the state of your quarterback at the end of the season? These are things we're going to talk about every day until the end of the season. But I think this context, this information is relevant because now we know from the most reliable reporter on the Bears beat, who's been there the longest and has the best sources. Brad Biggs reports in the Chicago Tribune that Matt Eberflus is under contract through 2026. That's 2 years. That's probably $9 million-ish. If you say even 10, do the McCaskies want to pay, are they willing to pay $10 million to get rid of a head coach in the midst of a stadium project, which they're going to have to pony up more money if they want to get it done the way they want to get it done, as well as if you're getting rid of your head coach, you're starting over, kind of, sort of, maybe. It's a quasi-rebuild or retooling. So how does that factor into your thinking? Does it change your mind out there, what you expect if you're a Bears fan? 312-644-6767. Having that extra year makes next year not a lame duck season. It makes the following season a lame duck season. Can you imagine Flusie being here for 2 more seasons after this one? Somebody just swerved off the road. No! It's a tough enough day for a lot of people not to consider Flusie for 2 more years. So 312-644-6767. Let's go to the phone lines. Bobby is in Naperville. Bobby, welcome to Mullen Haw.
Hey, David. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, that is interesting about Eberflus. This isn't what I wanted to talk about, but real quick, I wouldn't mind it because consistency is the most important. I know Flusie isn't the best quarterback. I mean, coach, and Waldron isn't the best coach, but you need consistency. You can't give Caleb a new offense. But here's my thing, right? When David, you seem confused by a number of things, like why DJ Moore is frustrated, why Cole Kmet isn't getting targets, why the offense stalls. All of it makes a lot more sense if I just tell you that the overhyped rookie quarterback is playing like a rookie quarterback. I mean, you want to know why DJ Moore is frustrated? Because him and Cole Kmet both had career years last year in touchdowns and yards. And then they got rid of the offensive coordinator and traded the quarterback. Now, once again, he's sitting around with a rookie quarterback that is kind of confused and doesn't really know what he's seeing. And anytime they're not on the same page, it's Caleb's fault. It's not DJ Moore's fault. He's been doing this for 8 years. Caleb just showed up, and he wants to tell DJ Moore how to run routes. I mean, it's all. I'm not trying to rip on Caleb because it is what it is, but you have to keep this consistency. Now, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if DJ Moore has to be traded at the end of the year. He is beyond frustrated with this situation, and that's why he's doing what he's doing. And is it acceptable? Probably not, but it's totally understandable because the dude is a top 10 receiver, and he keeps getting screwed with these quarterback situations. And it just makes no sense to me. I mean, do I think Caleb at some point might be good? Sure. Is he anything that was advertised? No. He's slightly better than I thought he would be. I'm happy he doesn't turn the ball over. But, I mean, there are so,
Bobby,
so many
you're not,
things.
Are you not necessarily ripping on Caleb? You're just ripping on me? Because
I'm
of
not, no,
I
I'm
believe
not
in Caleb?
You. I'm not trying to rip on you, David. No, you can believe in whatever you want. I mean, you and a lot of people, it's not just you. I mean, Ryan Poles believed in it.
Right.
mean, It's not just you and
I know said, these I are good. These are really good points. Bobby, you're right. At some point in time, the quarterback has to put the ball where it needs to be, and I've been surprised at how little that's happened recently, and how he has regressed, and the accuracy has been missing. I don't want to overreact to DJ Moore's unsatisfying first half of the season, which has revealed maybe some uncomfortable vibes in a locker room or between the receivers and the quarterback. Those are undeniable. I think we all have seen that. If we're studying his body language, there are issues to be studied. I think this is a big week for that relationship, for that rapport, for the passing game. It seems like we say that a lot because they haven't made the progress and because we're sitting here in the middle of Caleb Williams' rookie season and talking about his inconsistency. And it sure doesn't help two things. First, obviously, Jaden Daniels looks like an MVP in Washington, where they just made the trade of the deadline. They got the best player moved yesterday. Marshon Lattimore is going to help the Commanders stay in first place and make a playoff run. So Jaden Daniels greater than Caleb Williams midway through the season. Yes. Also, Drake May comes to town Sunday. The Patriots are terrible. They're the worst team in the NFL. But you know what? I think Drake May has a higher passer rating than Caleb Williams. Shorter sample size, smaller sample size because they haven't played as much, but that's not good either. What's Bo Nix? I'm now Googling Bo Nix to find out what his passer rating is because I don't want Caleb Williams to have the worst passer rating among rookie quarterbacks. Because, yes, I have referred to him as the guy who is going to be the guy the Bears win because of. But it's not just about being right. It's about thinking that he is capable of doing more. And he is. And I think everybody knows that. Watch football a lot. You see quarterbacks. He gets it. He is successful and competent and clutch in the moments you need him to be successful, competent, and clutch. That's the end of halves, the end of games. But too often he is erratic. And I don't know how much to blame him or how much to blame the scheme. It's likely a combination of both. Let's go back to the phone lines. Our guy Jeff is on the Odyssey app. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, good morning, David. A couple things. With Eberflus, if you think Ben Johnson is the next McVay, Shanahan, or Reed, you fire Eberflus at the end of the year, you get the guru, you get him in, you want a coach that's going to be with Williams for the next 10 years or plus. That's how you get a winning team if you're thinking big time. You lose the contract, whatever it costs. With DJ Moore, I didn't get to see the game because of where I'm at in Michigan, but I did watch some of the replays of it. It looks like to me when he goes to the sideline to try to help go with the flow where Williams is going, he tries to stop before he goes out of bounds and he rolls his ankle or something, and then he steps out when that happens, and then he kind of limps off to the bench. I don't see him run off to the bench. And then, I don't know, did he go in the next series
yes,
or the next play?
Play? Next play, he ran a go route.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But it looked like to me when he stopped, he tweaked something, and when he went out of bounds, he went to the sideline. And now you can say, should he have just stood there and watched to see the rest of the play and what happened to support his team? That's a different question there. But I don't question that he went off in any kind of frustration or, you know, went to the bench because he was frustrated. He looked like, to me, he hurt himself a little.
Thanks, Jeff.
But that's where I'm at.
I appreciate the phone call. You're giving him the benefit of the doubt. I want to hear from DJ Moore. I want to hear him explain himself. My sense is he will later today at Hallis Hall. He typically speaks after Caleb Williams speaks. Wouldn't it be fun if they went together like they did in the room when he was calling him bossy and kidding around? Oh, those were the days. It's only like 3 weeks ago. Seems like it was like 3 months ago. 331. Good text. Are you guys nuts? Caleb has no offensive line. Get over it. He needs help. You can't be a good quarterback without having protection, without having blockers protect the pocket. It's a good point. It's a fair point. I also think this about Ben Johnson. Obviously, if the Bears are looking ahead, Ben Johnson will be the hottest assistant coach on the market. Maybe the hottest head coaching candidate available, even including guys with head coaching experience. If I said to you today, you could pick one coach to be on the Bears sidelines in 2025, Mike Vrabel with head coaching experience or Ben Johnson with none. Most Bears fans, I think, would check a box, pull a lever, and vote for Ben Johnson. I don't know how he is as a head coach. I don't know how he commands the room. I don't know how he is in situations that call for us to evaluate and parse his language. I don't know that about him. I do know this. He is an offensive wizard, genius. He does look like, maybe I shouldn't throw around those terms, but his offense is very fun to watch and very innovative, and it helps to have weapons and offensive line and all the things. But I think Ben Johnson would be a guy at the top of many lists. Also, on ESPN Radio last week, Albert Breer said that Ben Johnson pulled his name out of the running for the Washington job last year, which he probably maybe he doesn't regret it. The Lions are rolling. But he pulled his name out of the contention because he was waiting for the Bears job. I don't know if I buy that, honestly.
Well, how about a combo of Ben Johnson and Robert Saleh?
Okay, you've been reading the internet.
Right?
You've been scanning Twitter. You've been probably posting on that, on your burner account. Robert Saleh, doesn't he want to be a head coach? Do you think he's going to have to be a defensive coordinator first?
Back to being a coordinator
okay.
first. And he might want to be a head coach, but I don't know. I'm curious
maybe.
The next head coach with a defensive background that's hired in the NFL. I think they're going to move away from that.
I disagree because Matt Eberflus may not be the greatest example, but Dan Quinn sure is. Dan Quinn's going to be the NFL coach of the year. Defensive-minded head coach. Can't do it. Defensive-minded head coach is going to be the coach of the year.
But is it because? But he's going to lose his offensive coordinator if the Commanders keep going at the rate they're going.
Yes.
If they can hold off the Eagles,
yes.
and win that division,
mm-hmm.
I totally agree that Dan Quinn will probably be your coach of the year. But that also means that Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a guy that's going to be in play to be a head coach again.
And he'll get an interview in Chicago. Maybe this time he'll have a good interview.
But they won't
and
talk
not
about
blow
Caleb.
It.
They'll just talk about ball, David. Just talked about ball.
That interview didn't go well. I'd like to know more about that. One day, if they ever hire Cliff Kingsbury, I want to know what went on at that interview and why didn't it work out and why wouldn't he talk about it?
It was more about ball.
Well, he's not represented by Trace Armstrong, David.
Maybe.
Courtesy interview.
He'll be a guy on the list, and then it could be a good debate in Chicago. I envision some January Wednesday coming in, and one of the pick six questions is, Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury, who do you like? If you had to rank those guys, Cliff Kingsbury's been a head coach before. Ben Johnson hasn't. Ben Johnson probably more successful as an offensive coordinator this year, although Cliff Kingsbury's getting it done. Simpler offense, less innovation. Good debate, but I don't agree with you. I think defensive-minded head coaches, it depends on how much they have in terms of charisma. I'll tell you what I will say this about head coaching hires. I wonder what the Dan Campbell effect is going to be. I wonder what the Dan Campbell effect is going to have on the next round of head coaching hires, because the power of his personality is as big of a reason why the Lions are where they are as anything that Ben Johnson has done. And I love Ben Johnson, his X's and O's and his scheme, and I'm not taking anything away from the way that he has David Montgomery throwing touchdown passes and Jared Goff catching them. I think that the power of Dan Campbell's charisma and personality is the biggest factor in the Lions' turnaround.
A leader of men. We were just saying it back here. A leader of men.
Yes. And if you can find that guy, and I remember the day he was hired.
Mike Vrabel.
Well, that's why I said Vrabel.
Right, leader of men.
That's why I like
right?
Vrabel.
Leader of men.
I like him. I like him a lot. And we're not making a short list yet, but I think Mike Vrabel is a guy that you understand why he was in Tennessee as long as he was.
But wasn't there talk with Vrabel, though, about he getting into it with the front office or something?
Oh,
like
yeah.
That? Wouldn't that be an issue?
Unless you win. You think Dan Campbell's never had a fight with Brad Holmes?
Who's Mike Vrabel's agent? I mean, seriously, we need to take a look. We need to take a look and see, like, Trace Armstrong's list of, like, offensive guys in the league right now.
Well, if we get to that point, we will. We're not doing coaching searches yet. I'm just talking hypotheticals.
Are we doing offensive coordinator searches yet?
No.
No, not yet.
And then Shane Waldron's calling the plays on Sunday. Thomas Brown is available. Kerry Joseph is a possibility. Heck, what about Simo? You got a nickname, you might have a purpose. Chris Morgan should be able to maybe be called plays. He's a run game coordinator, right? I don't know. Anybody but Shane Waldron. Shane Waldron, to me, has lost the right to call plays after the Colts debacle and after last week's mess.
Pat Manley had a really interesting tweet about the idea of changing play callers. And he tweeted out that essentially, if Eberflus was to take that away, which is essentially firing him, even if you said we're just going to reshuffle the chairs on the Titanic, you're essentially firing yourself because he, Eberflus, had a big say in that hire. So it's another check against him. So that's also part of why this can't happen. Behind closed doors, he might say, I'm going to get more veto power. But
I respect Pat.
I thought that was a really good
tweet. And I know what he's saying, but you don't think of it that way if you're the head coach. What you are doing is looking for a solution to a problem. And, Dustin, if it works, you buy yourself more time. And you think that it's going to work. If you're replacing a guy, you're not going into it thinking about what happens if it fails. Oh, my gosh. You're thinking about it. Well, you know what? It's already trending in the wrong direction. If I don't make a change, I'm going to get fired anyway.
But if it doesn't, if it doesn't work, it's really bad.
But if it's already really bad. That's the only reason.
Unfortunately, I think it could get worse.
I saw that and I was like, well, I get what he's saying. But I also think that if you look at it as making change for the sake of improvement, if you provide a solution to a problem, all of a sudden you're like, look what I did. I'm keeping my job. Because I made the change when I needed to make it. So a lot of different ways you could go with that. Respect, Pat. That was a good point. It's a good discussion. But we're going to switch to baseball because Bruce Levine is covering the GM meetings down in San Antonio. The Cubs bring back Belly. Chris Getz hires a manager. We'll talk about both sides of town with Bruce when we come back. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce asked the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully off today, under the weather. Time now to join Bruce Levine down in San Antonio, and like all of our guests, Bruce is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great, David, here in Texas. Cubs and White Sox busy talking to other teams, agents, talking about free agents. Where do you want to begin today?
I want to begin with the news earlier in the week that was a little surprising, I believe. Maybe your reaction, I'm curious about. Cody Bellinger opts back in with the Cubs. What was your reaction, and what does that do to the Cubs' offseason plan?
Well, I think it solidifies their lineup to a certain degree. You know, $30 million is what he opted into. We're going to talk to Scott Boras here in the meetings in Texas here today, probably 2 hours, talk about Cody's decision to come back and what it was based on. But for the Cubs, I think it gives them that left-handed bat in the middle of the lineup that they need, but it also means that they can't redirect the $30 million that was part of his contract coming off of a mediocre year for him. It wasn't a great year. It wasn't an awful year. Again, injury-plagued where he missed over 30 games, but you need really good players. Bellinger's a good player that plays four positions, so I think it helps him in a lot of ways. In other ways, and the creativity to make their lineup better than what it was last year will be a little difficult for Jed Hoyer, who talked to us yesterday at length, both on and off the record, about where the Cubs are at.
Bruce, with Say Suzuki now becoming the designated hitter, if they don't make any changes, do you expect them to be creative in the trade market? Do you expect them, Suzuki, to maybe be somebody that they dangle if they can get him to waive his no-trade clause? How active and aggressive do you think Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins will be in seeking trades that change the mix and complexion of this lineup?
Well, first of all, you know, David, you say, you know, they can get him to waive the no-trade clause. How do you do that, okay? How do you go to a player and say, we want to trade you, we want to take away one of your rights here? I mean, you have to offer him something, don't you? What is in it for him to waive his right of a no-trade? The same thing with in left field, you know, when you have Hap, who has the same thing. It's like, what is the incentive for the player to waive a no trade clause other than hearing, well, we might want to trade you? Do you take it as, are you offended by it and you say, okay, trade me, I don't want to be a part of your team? How does it impact him? So it's a difficult process. Unless you're offering them another year and you're taking the chance that, you know, on both him and Hap, that they're playing up to their abilities the way they were, because again, you don't know if you can trade them or not. So it's a difficult process. They're really locked up with their lineup, David. I mean, you identified it correctly. They don't have a lot of movement, especially now with Horner and having his surgery on his hand. They do not know exactly when he's going to be able to return.
Thank you. You guys have covered that well on Inside the Clubhouse. I think it's been largely overlooked, but Nico Horner's surgery and injury to that hand affects his trade value or maybe what they're able to do in terms of pursuing a deal, because they don't know how healthy he's going to be, right?
Yeah, well, exactly, David. I mean, he was the most obvious guy that would be traded. And not that he's a bad player, not that they don't value him, but other teams do, okay? So how do you improve? You improve by trading people that you have in your mind or in your organization duplications of. They think, you know, that Matt Shaw might be that. They think James Triantos might be that. They have really good young infielders coming in the organization. How do you get them in there, and what value do you get back for a very good player like Horner, who does not have no trade clause and is coming off of a good year, not a great year, but he, you know, it was revealed by Jed Hoyer, David, that he played at least half of the season with this damaged hand. So do you have an even better feeling about how good he is and how well he played, despite the fact that he was hampered over half the year.
Talking with Bruce Levine, our baseball expert, down in San Antonio at the GM meetings here on The Score. Bruce, let's go to the White Sox. Will Venable made a great impression yesterday on Mully and I because of the way that he had just had energy, charisma, a bit of a vision, and you like what you heard. I wonder this, too. We asked him about surrounding himself with experience on the bench. David Ross's name came up, and I could almost hear him smile because it seemed like he liked the idea. He and Rossi have a good relationship, as you know, from their time together with the Cubs. Is that a realistic option for David Ross, and do you think he wants to get back in a dugout?
Well, I like the idea. I don't know how badly David wants to get back in. You know, certainly David's a tremendously talented guy that can be a coach, a manager again, which is what I'm sure he wishes to be, and also a terrific analyst on television. So I think David will have his options here after sitting out a year. I think it would be a tremendous hire for not just for Venable, but for the White Sox organization to have someone of David's experience and a plumb, the guy that can, he, you know, I mean, he did nothing really wrong in his time with the Cubs, right? He wasn't Craig Counsell, okay? Just like Ricky Renteria wasn't Joe Maddon. Those were the sexier names. They got passed by, they got picked. So David would be a terrific addition to the Chicago White Sox. As to whether that happens or not, we'll find out. Both teams have a lot of coaches to name over the next week. I think we'll hear next week or two where both the Cubs and White Sox start naming their coaches. But the White Sox are the most popular team in San Antonio here, David, as far as Chris Getz having meetings with other teams. He said that he was in Getz. He said that he was preparing to be able to talk to a lot of teams here, but he was mildly surprised as to how many teams want to talk to him about Garrett Crochet. And why wouldn't they, right? One of the better stories in baseball for the worst team in baseball. How do you do that? How do you get yourself over that? And with a favorable contract of probably about $4.5 million this year, David, and maybe it tops at 8 or 9 next year, he is somebody that other teams will very definitely want to give up more talent for, because they have him for 2 years and they have him at a very good rate. So he's a very marketable player, obviously, for the White Sox, and they're going to be listening. I think he'll be traded. You know, I don't know if it'll be before the winter meetings coming up the 10th of December, but I think he'll be traded before the first of the year.
You've got a story on 670thescore.com about what the White Sox may get in return in terms of a position player or players. What do you think you're hearing is the going rate for a guy like Garrett Crochet under control, potential ace and or closer, and he's going to be able to be very selective, I think, if you're Chris Getz. What are we talking about? 3 prospects, Bruce?
Yeah. Well, again, it depends on the organization, right? Different, you know, you might have Team A might have a grade 1, 3, 5 in their system as ranked players. They're only ranked in their system. That doesn't make them, you know, you look at the top 100 of MLB Pipeline if you want to really see what they're all about. So it just depends who they're trading with. And Getz underlined that, the idea that you have to be trading with a team that has the players that you want. And their hard work is right now and has been since last July when they were hitting the trade deadline and they were getting active questions about Crochet being traded. They have to know those other organizations' minor league systems better than those teams do. Yeah, that's their charge. They have to be on top of it. The best and the brightest of the White Sox firm have to really know wrong when it comes to trading for a Garrett Crochet. They just cannot move him and hope that 3 players are good enough. They're going to have to be top, as you said, top 3 players in a good organization. You know, again, you always go back to the Dodgers. You always go back to Baltimore. Teams that have been loaded with good minor league players. Those are the things that you watch right now.
Well, we got a minute left, Bruce, but what was your biggest takeaway from your Will Venable conversation? Because I was struck by how charismatic he was. Didn't necessarily expect that, but he certainly, you could see why people find him likable, relatable, and easy to understand.
Well, I got to talk to him yesterday here at the meetings, and I said, why did you come to the meetings? You know, there's 6 White Sox executives busy doing their work to try to make trades and talk to free agents. He goes, this is my opportunity to really get to know the front office and the people around it. I need to spend the offseason getting to know the organization, getting to know the players, being ready for my job, and that's going to take me full time to really get on top of this. You just don't come from another organization, fall into a job, and you're manager. He said it's going to take a lot more than that, and I'm prepared to know everything about this organization, the people in it, when I take this job starting in the spring.
Great stuff, Bruce. Have a safe trip, a productive one, and look forward to talking to you next time.
Thanks, David. Have a great day.
Bruce Levine, the Score's baseball expert and host of Inside the Clubhouse, every Saturday, 9 to 11, right here on the Score. When we come back, it's time to talk to Chelly. Chelly time. Chris Chelios joins us next on Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score! BetMGM ambassador, the king of sportsbooks.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in. Chelios scores! Chris Chelios has won it for Chicago.
three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully is off and under the weather today. And joining us now is BetMGM ambassador Chris Chelios, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And like all of our guests, Chelly is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Or just you, I guess.
Yeah, just me. It's okay. It's been a lot of stuff to talk about this morning. Certainly, I want to give you the opportunity, like we did last week. If you want to vent about the Bears, feel free to vent about the Bears. What went wrong in your mind in Arizona? Chelly, this is crisis mode.
Okay, first we'll bring up the bad, and then we'll talk about the good. Yeah, how do you not throw the ball once to Cole Kmet?
Right.
I'll start with that. So that's, you know, whoever, the offensive coordinator, Williams, I don't know. Maybe you know better than me. And then the weekend before, maybe they targeted him twice. After the game he had in London, he's by far their best player. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize he's a foot bigger than anybody's covering him, and he's a great player. I'll leave it at that.
They aren't changing play callers either. He doubled down on Shane Waldron. They're going to stay the same guy, even though the last couple weeks have been very unimpressive. And earlier in the year, he didn't exactly cover himself in glory. So Matt Eberflus is stubbornly staying with Shane Waldron.
Yeah, well, he'll go down with the ship then, as far as I'm concerned. But you know what? I'm still not giving up on him. Williams is still young. The defense is still good. They had a little bit of a hiccup there that last game, but they're probably tired. You know, they're getting tired being on the field as much as they are because the offense isn't doing their pulling their weight. But you know what? That division's so tough, and now it's going to get harder when they start playing Green Bay, Detroit, you know, Minnesota. So it is what it is, but I hope they could start playing a little better because it did take a couple steps backwards
couple
games.
You said you had a positive? Are you going to talk about the kicker? What positives?
No positive.
You're right. Then you watched the same game we did.
Yeah, I'm trying to be positive. There is no positives, but I'm trying to be positive. Well, I like the D.
The Blackhawks have given you reason to be positive. They had a very productive road trip, 3-2. I did not expect them to win back-to-back in Southern California over the weekend. How surprised were you by that road trip? And where in the heck did Ryan Donato come from? Leading the team in goals, did not expect that either.
Oh, what a great start. He just works hard, and he's been good from day one. He had the first couple of games, he wasn't having much luck putting in the back of the net, but he sure has now. And whatever line he's played with, he's had success, and it's great. He's a smaller kid, but he got a lot of grit, and he plays hard. And it seems like Foligno, whoever he plays with, gets that line going too. So good for him, you know, being the captain. And I think that game, L.A., where, you know, he drops his gloves and then he scores that goal. They had two horrible periods, horrific periods. I don't even care about that. You know, the end of the day, if you win that game, and that seemed to give them a little confidence going into the next two games where they played well. They had the kind of a slow start the last game in that first period. But otherwise, you know, you got to be happy. That's not an easy trip out there. It doesn't matter who you're playing. So that's good to see. They're coming home tonight against Detroit. That's going to be a big game for them. Hopefully, you know, after a road trip, sometimes you have a tendency to have a little bit of a letdown, but we'll see what happens. But all in all, it was great. Bedard, you know, not scoring goals necessarily like he'd like to, but he's a centerman and he's making unbelievable plays and setting guys up.
Chris, they're 5-7-1, and while nobody's going to plan a parade or anything, I think that does represent improvement when they could have gone the other way going on the road as much as they were struggling. What do you think the biggest reason is why they didn't kind of wither, why they came back and showed some resilience and resolve?
Well, like I said, up to this point, they've had maybe one game where they really didn't compete and play. You know, they haven't been getting outshot, which was the case a lot last year. Mrazek's had to stand on his head, you know, last year quite a bit, whereas that hasn't been the case this year. The games have been even in shots, and that's a good indication that they're playing better hockey. So they got to be feeling pretty good about themselves with the addition of these guys. Bertuzzi, you know, we talked about him having a slow start. He's doing what, you know, he does, goes to the net. You saw that Phillips goal, you know, Bertuzzi right in front, not a big kid, but he just has a knack for knowing where to go, and his timing's perfect. Scored that big goal to tie it, you know, late in the game there. So it's just that. And, you know, these other guys got to start contributing, Hall, the veterans. And then, you know, I hope, you know, we hope that Martinez can get back soon to help them in the back end. So it's looking good.
All right, Chelly. So last February, Patrick Kane stole your thunder. On the night that they retired your jersey, he scored the overtime game winner for the Red Wings over the Hawks. So what are you going to do tonight to upstage him when he comes back with the Wings to play the Hawks?
I'm leaving the country. I'm flying to Toronto right now. How's that?
Okay.
So I don't have to worry about it. No, I've got to go up to – I'm going to start the inductions with Jeremy Roenick, and I'm going to go celebrate that with him this week up in Toronto. But, yeah, I'm sure Kane is going to get a warm welcome back again. But there's no way it'll match the intensity of that weekend between the jersey and, you know, Cindy Crawford scoring from center ice and Eddie being out, you know. That was a heck of a weekend, but it's great to see Kaner come back. It's too bad they don't get to see him as much anymore because of the, you know, Detroit being in the East. So yeah, but it's good to see him back, and I wish him the best. But I hope he scores a hat trick and the Hawks win 7-3.
He's got 8 points in 11 games. He can still be a productive player at this stage of his career. Have you seen enough to know why?
He just, again, coming off the injury, the hip thing, I think, you know, that seems to be a non-issue now, which obviously slowed him down, you know, the previous year. So if he stays healthy, he's still, you know, he has it, the quickness, the skill level. He's got some good players in Detroit to play with. I think he's got great chemistry with DeBrincat. So, yeah, he's by far, by no means is he even close to being done. And he loves the game. That's the one thing. I compare him to myself. He's the first one at the rink, last one to leave. So there's no question in my mind. You know, Detroit's going to be fighting for the playoffs this year. It'd be a big disappointment if it didn't make it, but we'll see.
Chris, safe travels up to Toronto. Appreciate your time and insight. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you. Take care.
Chris Chelios, BetMGM ambassador, also Blackhawk legend and ambassador. He won't be there tonight, but you should be, or at least watching, the Blackhawks and the Red Wings, Kaner versus Bedard. It's going to be a fun matchup. It's going to be electric inside that building. Looking forward to going myself later in the day. But we're going to talk football next. Stacey Dales joins the program. She can talk to us about the NFC North and how good the Lions became and how good the Vikings have gotten with both trades at the deadline and maybe why the Bears stood pat. She'll join us next on Mully and Haw. Mully is off today under the weather. Come back at 6-7 to score, Chicago Sports Radio.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.